Welcome to Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into Jameson Williams, one of my favorite wide receivers of this class. And 6'2", 179, we'll get back to that in a second, 23 BMI. Smallish, right? I'll get to that in a second. I think the big news is, right, non-productive at Ohio State behind Olave and Garrett Wilson. He then goes, transfers to Alabama and has a historic season. 2.93 yards per team passing attempt in college, 96th percentile. That's elite. 2.51 yards per route run, 77th percentile. 19.2% of his routes he was targeted on. That's only 22nd percentile. So you just look at how much damage he's doing, right? He's a 22nd percentile type target volume and a 77th percentile type yardage per route run guy. Just that's a massive, right? That's a force multiplier right there. It doesn't need a lot of volume to be a mega producer, right? That's a telltale sign. Only 9.3% of his targets were contested. That's actually 89th percentile, right? We want smaller being better in that category, so that's good. Receptions per broken tackle is at 6.2, 54th percentile. So despite some of the smallness and the small size concerns, still breaks tackles at an above median clip. His best season in terms of max yards per route run, 3.12. That is 80th percentile. Targets per route run, 23%. This was this past year. That's only good for 27th percentile in terms of the volume. But again, huge production, low volume, right? There's a big difference there. Probably the biggest difference in terms of yardage per route run and targets per route run of anyone in this class. Broke out at both 20 and 30% thresholds at 20 years old, 8% dominator rating at 19, 32% dominator rating at 20. So he breaks both thresholds in the older bucket, right? You get the 18 and 19 year olds. He's in the 20 and beyond bucket at 20 years old. You turn on the tape and you see, like, alarmingly fast. Like, there's basically almost no speed he's running that he doesn't have more of a gear to flip into if he absolutely needs to. It's just wild to watch him. It is breathtakingly explosive, would be what I would say. You're watching it and you're like, he's leaving, and in the process he's putting the safety that was supposed to be over the top and the corner behind him, right? He's not just a pure speed guy either. I think that's some of these guys get into this. You know, one of the reasons I actually like John Ross, just telling on myself to some degree, I guess, he didn't break out. He didn't pan out in the NFL. He's an older breakout as well. Some positional convert stuff there, so a little uncertainty in some of that stuff. But one of the reasons I really like John Ross was because I actually didn't end up taking him at cost, but I actually liked him as a player. When you watch him on tape coming out of college, there was variety in his roots, right? There was variety in sort of how he would. He wasn't just a pure speed guy, right? He would vary his routes. He would do some different things, right? He was able to, run comebacks. He was able to do other stuff that then just fly. And so you see some of these guys that are just 4.2x burners, and all they do is run in a straight line. That wasn't John Ross. And Jameson Williams, a bigger, much different player, I think, in terms of that. I think he's better than John Ross was. But similar in that vein of, hey, here's this vertical threat, but there's more to him than that. You know, I was watching one of the games, and it's one of these situations where he ends up getting on top of a corner and on top of a safety and runs by them at or about the catch point is where he's beyond them, and then it's over at that point. And I was like, man, just the speed on that, like, just to get them and to be such a bad angle, like, you just know you're that fast. Well, I actually went back and I flipped it I went back and rewatched it. There's a couple different angles and stuff when you would watch it, and that's not what happened. interestingly, what actually happened was he's going through his route, and you can tell that he's got a corner to the outside of him. He's got a safety over the top, so they're basically, you know, they're kind of bracketing him, and he's running a vertical stem, and he does this stutter, and it doesn't slow him up fast. He does this stutter and basically sinks like he's going to break either a comeback, or he's going to run a dig, it doesn't look like he's going to rip off a post, but it looks like he's going to do something that's either in breaking or breaking back towards the quarterback. And it's quick, and it's well executed, and it's bit on, and he's gone. Right, that's what it was. It wasn't just that he ran by him, and he could have just run by him, but it was just that he had this nuance and this understanding of really how to get open. And you see that in the underneath stuff too. Like, he's not just a burner, right? He does burn, but he has some stuff that he's able to do sort of in the shorter range. You'll see him settle in zones, for example. Like, actually works the middle of the field well in terms of finding zones to sit in. He's tough in terms of, if you don't get a hand on him at the line of scrimmage, he's getting an edge on you in his release. So that's another thing that I would watch there. Again, a really enjoyable watch in terms of you know what the result ended up being on the season. And when you go back and watch 4 or 5 games, you're just like, oh yeah, like the best way I could say it. I couldn't have even said it this good. But Danny Kelly at The Ringer says, elite burst to hit the nitrous oxide boosters and run away from corners on crossing routes and go routes. And he's got an extra gear that helps him pull away from defenders after the catch. Like, that couldn't have, that's exactly what, right. Like, the nitrous oxide burners is the perfect description of Jameson Williams. I think the couple of things that you look at and you say, all right, well, what's the concerns? 23 BMI is a concern. I would say the 32% breakout at 20 years old, that could be better. For a couple of reasons, I give a little bit of forgiveness to that, right? You sort of ended up in a situation where, hey, the guys in front of you just were good, right? And you're going to have 2 first round picks that were ahead of you. And if you're sort of late to the party and they were there first, yeah, I kind of analogize it to our work. Like, this is no different than the work that we might do. I could be, and I'll just use myself for an example. Like, I could be the best homicide prosecutor that's come out of school in the last 30 years. And if I come in to an office and there's 2 homicide prosecutors that are really good, and there's only 2 of them, and they're in their mid career with no real aim of retiring or anything, I'm stuck, right? So, like, I could be the best that's ever done it, and I'm still not getting that promotion because the inertia of the organization is going to keep the people that are there, right? That's just how it happens. I don't blame Jameson Williams for that, right? I think that is the inertia of an organization. And he ends up, he does a smart thing. He transfers, and at 20 years old, he breaks out, and then he declares, right? That's all the smart stuff that he could have done, he did. So, I don't necessarily fault him for that under these particular circumstances. Listen, if he went to Rutgers and this happened, or, you know, Syracuse and this happened, right, we'd have a different story. But under the circumstances, I think you can forgive a little bit later of a breakout. The 32 BMI thing is a the 23 BMI thing is a concern. I went back in my database that has combine weigh-ins. I think it's back to 2000. It's only 5 guys that I found on day 2. There were no guys in day 1 that had a sub 24 BMI. So Paul Richardson, Justin Hunter, Chris Henry, the Bengals, who has since passed away, and he had some legal troubles as well. Snoop Manus and Tutu Atwell. So Richardson, Hunter, Henry, Manus, and Atwell. Richardson, Hunter, Henry, and Atwell, round 2. Manus, round 3. None of them hit. Small sample, yes. Inferior draft capital, yes. If you just threw their base rates in the hopper and just shook it up, right? They would come out a reasonable percent of the time that would be it. It wouldn't be predictive. You wouldn't think of a result. So that's one aspect of this. The other aspect is I think you forgive a guy, you know, and I was probably guilty of this on the Trevor Lawrence thing to some degree. Trevor Lawrence was, I believe, coming off an injury. When he weighed in, there was some issue with his weigh-in. It was an injury, he had surgery or something. He was sick, or there was some issue with him that when he weighed in probably less than he actually weighed. And so when you go back and you look and you say, oh, he didn't have the frame, like there might have been other reasons that you would have forgiven that. With Jameson Williams coming off an ACL, right, it's a couple months later, you're not fully back to yourself, right? You're not day-to-day working out in the same way that you otherwise would. Is he going to come in 195? No. Is he going to come in 179? I have a hard time believing that, right? So is he big on tape? No. Is he 23 BMI on tape? No. You know, if he came in 189, I think you'd probably feel fine with that, right? I think you feel okay with that. You know, and you look 5 to 10 pounds him putting on, and if that's assuming that's good weight, you know, back working out and all that stuff, I think you're fine. Like he came in, he was listed about 10 pounds higher. It's not something I'm really worried about. Yes, he's thin. He's probably not going to be a huge target monster, but I'm not super, super concerned about it. Some of the other notes here that I have about him, Lance Zierlein, issues getting off of press cleanly against certain corners came up. PFF stiffness at the line is different as a speedster. He's quick and fast in terms of getting his releases. So I think there's a pretty good consensus here. Top three guy in the class would be, I think, the fairest, you know, most, I don't know if generous is the right word, but you know, the widest range there that you'll see in terms of it. He is a top three guy. I thought there was a chance maybe he would fall down because there was some potential not playing in year one. I'm not sure if that's going to happen in the NFL. That might happen in Dynasty, so I'll be interested to watch that. That would be the thing that I would watch for with him. I mean, in terms of guys in this class, right, he's up there in terms of Drake London and guys that I think could be real, real difference makers because they both, well, definitely Jameson Williams has a superpower. And I think when you look at some of these guys, they're good. I'm not sure where the superpower is. And I think with Jameson Williams, like he has that, which I think when that should distinguish you in a lot of ways when you're trying to pick between guys. Now, again, are you picking him at wide receiver one? No. You know, but if you start getting in the middle of the range and you got to pick between, you know, wide receivers at wide receiver 3, 4, something like that, you can't move down, right? That would be something I'd lean towards, right? I like him sort of in that range with that. DeSean Jackson's a comp. Paul Richardson was a comp. I think a better version of Paul Richardson. Taller version of DeSean Jackson was stuff that I saw as well. You know, so a T.Y. Hilton was another one too. And it was discussed T.Y. Hilton kind of in the way of not just a pure vertical guy, would do a lot of other stuff and had some nuanced route running as well. I actually heard someone today, I think it was on the Mina Kimes show when I was listening to it, mentioned Jameson Williams as being perhaps the best route runner in this class. So I'm not sure I go that far, but again, a lot of that nuanced stuff I do think shows up. And it's probably underappreciated. So so that's the deal there with him. Again, it's shades of how productive you want to look at. He's an extreme yards over targets guy. Huge amount of yards per team passing attempt too at 96th percentile. So those are good indications. Breaks tackles at a bigger, that's the other thing with the BMI, breaks tackles at a bigger rate than you would expect with someone that's wiry thin and with that BMI. So that's the thought there on James Williams. Really like the player. Again, we'll have to figure out how that whole first round sorts out. But if he's going to be back at the end of the round and it's going to be, you know, one thing with him I think you have to pay attention to is he going to be an RI eligible guy in your league? And you have to understand that rule, know what that rule means. He's probably a decent shot to be a taxi guy this year as well. So because even though it's a January surgery, right, you're still looking 8-9 months for him to get back. Maybe he's back later on in the season. I'm not sure you're going to start him. And maybe you don't even want him to be back. Maybe you'll do like the J.K. Dobbins thing where he's out an entire year, and or, Etienne, right? They're out a whole year, and but Cam Akers rushes back and people knock him for it, right? So maybe you actually want that Richard, that Dobbins thing for the Williams. I suspect he'll probably play later in the fall, but you know, for what it's worth, I think it's something to keep in mind on. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.